And whatever you do, don't go to hell. There's nobody in this room that I would want to go to hell. Nobody. You're too good of people to go to that awful place called hell. Well, I want to change gears with us this morning. I really felt like God was dealing with somebody there, and maybe not. Maybe I just missed it. I don't know. I am going to read a verse to you. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the dangers of spiritual slothfulness. I could probably equate this to a salvation message real easy, but I'm going to give it to you the way I think the Lord gave it to me. But before I preach to you, I want to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you if you would please turn up Holy Ghost conviction on that sinner's life that needs to be saved. Just turn up conviction. Oh, Father, make them so miserable they can't eat or sleep. Oh, Father, please shake them over hell and show them where they're going. Oh, Father, I ask you to draw them to you and save them by marvelous grace. Now, Father, we've got to change gears if I'm going to obey you. This morning, I ask you to help us. Lord, I only want to do what you want done. And so, Father, please help me. And Lord, give me clarity of thought and speech. Open the hearts of the listeners. Thank you for the good, sweet spirit that I felt here this morning. Thank you, Lord. And we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise for all you do. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. In James chapter number 4, I'm going to jump around a little bit before I settle down. In James chapter number 4 and verse number 17, the Word of God says this. I'll give you a minute to get there, those of you that's following with me. That's James chapter number 4, verse number 17. The Bible says this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, we refer to two kinds of sin many times. We say this, there are sins of commission and sins of omission. In other words, it's wrong to do what you ought not to do. But it's also a sin not to do what you know the Lord wants you to do. And sometimes we take those sins of omission and we devalue them and we put the sins of commission much higher on the list. Now, in this room this day, I don't think we have a drunkard. I don't think we have a murderer. I don't think we have a adulterer. Now, we could have. I just don't think we have. I think higher of you all than that you would commit some of those sins. I don't think that's in our midst today. But in our midst, I wonder if there might be some sinners who God has said, here's what I want you to do, and you've not done it. You've failed to do what God asked you to do. I just wonder. You're not drinking. You're not carousing. You're not cursing. You're not stealing. But you're not doing what God wants you to do. Now, I don't believe in gambling, and I use the phrase sometimes, I bet you. I wouldn't bet with anybody. But I am saying this, I am sure in our midst this morning, there's people that God said, I want you to, and you fill in the blank with whatever you want, and they have said no. on the outside, not fornicating, not drinking, not cursing, not stealing, but they're in rebellion to God on the inside. And I think God wants me to tell you this morning, that's sin. That's sin. If you're not doing what He wants you to do, that's sin. Now let me read that verse again. I've lost it. Yeah, here it is. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, God has revealed to you what He wants out of your life. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, we don't realize the impact of that scripture. We don't really grasp that. Give that man a track. No. Not going to. I'm too busy. He's too busy. Whatever's going on in your mind that you don't do what God told you to do, can I tell you, it's sin. It's sin in your life. That's a sober thought to me. I have committed, and I say this to my shame, I have committed much more sins of omission. Maybe not, but I believe I have. I believe I have committed many more sins of omission in my Christian life than I have committed sins of commission. I believe I failed to do more than I have done what I shouldn't do. And so I want to talk about that. That's kind of the burden on my heart. I want to go to Proverbs 24, a little text I shared with you all not too long ago on a Saturday, maybe it was a Saturday night. I want to look at a man who did not do what he was supposed to do. He didn't do what he should have done. And let's begin reading in Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 30. The Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful. The slothful, that word slothful means lazy. It's a lazy man. It's a sluggard. A slothful man. This is Solomon writing this, and he said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. I do not think that's two separate properties. I think the field and the vineyard's one farm. I think the man void of understanding is also the slothful man. And so he said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it's almost like this is an amazing thing. We need to stop and think about this. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. All grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then here's what Solomon says. Then I saw. He says, then I really saw. I saw something and considered it well. In other words, I stopped and I just looked at this piece of property that had the potential, unlimited potential, and I saw and I considered. And then he said again, I looked upon it. It's as if he took time and he's just maybe looking at different parts of this farm, the fields and the vineyard. I looked upon it and I received instruction. And here's what he said. I was taught a lesson. This is not how you farm. This is not the right way to do it, but I've learned from somebody who did it the wrong way. I've learned more from doing things the wrong way. I think in my life than I have doing them the right way. Because somebody does things the wrong way, don't think you can't learn from them. Solomon is learning from this situation. Now here's what he says in verse 32 again. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it. I received instruction. Yet a little sleep. That's what caught me when I read this. A little sleep. Not a lot of sleep. A little sleep. Just a little. Just a little sleep. And then he says, a little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. It was as if he said, "Why, he just was slothful a little here, and a little here, and then a little here and a little here, just a little at a time." I mean, it really wasn't a big problem. It wasn't a major problem. Just a little. That's all. That's all he slumbered, just a little. That's all that he folded his hands, just for a little while. But it seems as if it was a repetitive thing, a little here, maybe a little here, and a little here, and a little here. Along the way, he's looking and he's thinking, maybe even knew the fella, I don't know. But he's looking at this farm that's all grown up, and he's receiving instruction. He's receiving instruction, and he said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And then he said, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. I think the idea is, so shall your poverty comes as a hobo or a vagabond or one that just, not so much in our day and time, but back years ago, they used to have hobos that just, that's all they did was just bum from here to there and just live off what people would give them, ride the rail cars. I think what he's saying, so just a little and a little, and your poverty's going to come like the hobo when he gets old. He's never worked a job, never been responsible, never got up and went to an employer on a regular basis, and then he becomes an old man and he's not able to work, but he's poor now. And then he says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I think the idea is of one who is so hungry that he's gonna rob somebody and steal from them so he can eat. And so he's saying that poverty comes. And so if we look at this story, we see some things. And I just want to share them with you. Then I want to look at some lessons that we can draw from this text. We see the farm is made up of at least one field and one vineyard. One field and one vineyard. Apparently the field had an owner. The field has an owner. Somebody owns the field. It's not grown up because there's nobody to look after it. It's not because the owners have died and there's no heirs and it's just sitting there void. No, there is a reason. There was an individual who did something wrong. And so there was an owner. We see, we have to, I think we can say there was an owner, at least one who was in charge of the field. And we know something about the owner. We know he was slothful. He's slothful. He's lazy. He's a sluggard. It doesn't say he was sick. It doesn't say he was handicapped. It doesn't say he did not have time to work in the fields. It doesn't say he did not have knowledge to adequately take care of the field and vineyard. Doesn't say that. Here's what it says, that he was slothful. And then it says this, he was void of understanding. Now that does not mean as far as I'm concerned, that does not mean he was void of agricultural skills. That does not mean he was unlearned in how to run a farm. But I think what we are talking about here, he was unaware, or he did not understand, or he did not have a grasp of the danger of a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. He did not know where it was going to take him to. He did not know what the end result was going to be. No doubt he thought it's just a little. It's just a little. I mean, I'm just being lazy a little bit of the time. He did not know where it was headed. I want to say, when you fail to do what you should do, what God puts on your heart, you do not know the far-reaching consequences it may have. You may think this is just simple. This is just a little innocent disobedience, just a little something, just a whatever you think in your mind. But when you fail to do what God tells you to do, you don't know. It may have far-reaching implications. It may affect life. It may create a problem that is near unsurmountable. I'm looking at this fella here, and he's void of understanding. He doesn't realize the danger of what he's doing. I see that in a lot of Christian lives today. I don't know, maybe I'm just going to talk to you this morning instead of preach to you. I see a lot of Christians doing things, and I'm convinced of this, they're void of understanding. They do not know where that's going to end up at. They do not know the end result of what they're playing with. They're playing with fire and unaware of it. Seemingly unaware of it. And so I think that's where this fellow was. And so Solomon, he passes by this farm and he takes a long look at it. And as he looks, he receives instruction. And here's what I think he learns from this situation. The point that the truth he learns is that laziness, disorderliness, and really, let me get to the heart of laziness. It's a lack of self-discipline in our lives. Laziness, when you get to the heart of it, is a self-discipline problem. That's right. It's a temperance problem. It's a fruit of the Spirit problem, if I can say it that way. And so, I think what Solomon sees is that this laziness, this slothfulness, this lack of self-discipline leads to problem, leads to poverty in your life. It leads to a wanting in your life. Doing as one wants rather than as he should always has negative consequences. I don't think I can get this across to you this morning, the soberness of it to me. In this room, I would say a good part of us have failed. You say you're being judgmental. I don't, maybe. And if I'm wrong, forgive me. I'd say there's a good many of us that on a regular basis fail to do what the Holy Ghost of God impresses on our heart to do. And we think we're getting by with it. The preacher don't know. Nobody else knows. But there's a God in heaven that knows. He knows. And there's far-reaching consequences to it. Well, I want to take this little text this morning, and I want to preach. I want to make this spiritual. I could really preach this farm. The owner owns the farm, and you're responsible for the upkeep of what you own or what is yours. I could preach this as your soul, your life on the inside, your heart that you have calloused over and the weeds have grown up inside. I can preach this as a work that God has for you to do. That it's your responsibility. God's put a work on you. You have a responsibility to carry out that work and not be slothful. And we could talk about that. We could talk about a church. This could very well apply to a church and the work God has for the local assembly. We can make any application we want to make. But I want to just take a few minutes, and if the Lord will be my helper, say some things that if you would think about it for a few minutes, you would say as well. And number one, I think the number one lesson we learn is that neglect brings deterioration in our lives. Now, let's say that with the word spiritual. Spiritual neglect brings spiritual deterioration in our lives. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands, a little missing church because we're tired, a little failing to read our Bible because we've had a hard day on the job, a little failing to pray because we're tired and we're afraid. We'll just go to sleep, or whatever excuse we read. It's not convenient now. Just a little neglect of prayer, a little neglect of the Word of God, a little neglect of the house of God, a little neglect of the fellowship with the saints of God. Just a little here and a little there and a little there. And can I tell you what's going to happen? Your life is going to deteriorate spiritually. Maybe it's already started. Maybe sitting in here, if you would be honest with the preacher and honest with yourself and honest with God, you'd say this: I've been slipping, preacher. I've been slipping. Just a little here, and just a little here, and just a little here. Can I tell you, when we read the end of this chapter, there's some major consequences from just a little, you see. You can't be neglectful and not suffer deterioration in your life, spiritually speaking. You need to understand that. Because here's what the devil says: I'm so guilty. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Here's what the devil says: it's okay to skip today. Has he ever told you that? You don't need to read your Bible today. It's okay not to pray. You can pick it up. You can double up tomorrow. He has all sorts of tricks he uses on us. And what he wants is just a little slumber and a little sleep and a little folding of the hands. And then just a while down the road, you see, we suffer great consequences. I think that's one of the great challenges for God's people, is to not just commit the sins of omission just a little bit. Nobody will never know. You cannot read your Bible Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I'll never know it. Fact of the matter is, nobody will if you don't want them to. You can play all kinds of games. You can play prayer games. Oh my, you can just skip your praying and you can take it lightly. Oh my, but just a little and a little and a little, and you're going to suffer a great loss, you see. Here was a man, just a little slumber and a little sleep and a little folding of the hands, but he came to poverty. When we read, as the old king looks on the field in the vineyard, it's worthless. That's my next point. You see, spiritual slothfulness brings spiritual deterioration. but it also robs you of spiritual profitability. There was a time this farm, I don't know what they raised back then, but just let me equate it to a farm today. It had the green beans, and it had the corn and the tomatoes, and maybe if it's big enough, they'd gather the harvest and carry it down to the farmer's market, and they could sell it. And my, that farm was profitable. And that farmer no doubt would get his produce, and he'd put up some for himself. And my, it was paying for itself. I mean, it was worthwhile. It was something that was good for the owner thereof. And it enhanced his life, and it made life easier, you see, and provided an income for him. But now, no profitability. You know what the Bible says? There's some vessels to honor. I hate to tell y'all this. There's some vessels to dishonor. Do you know there's some of God's people, they bring dishonor to their Lord. I have before lose my temper in front of somebody, say something I shouldn't. I've brought dishonor to him. There's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor. And can I tell you, I believe these vessels of dishonor many times come from vessels of honor. At one time they were a vessel of honor like this farm, but now they bring dishonor to the Lord. You see, what caused that? How was it they came from being profitable to the Lord to being unprofitable to the Lord, or to bringing dishonor to it? What caused that? How did it come about? A little sleep. A little slumber. Just a little failure here. And a little failure here. And a little failure here. And then one day, I mean, you just wake up one day. It's like those guys in prison. You say, how'd you get here? Here's what they say. I don't know. It just happened. I mean, we just one day, we just, here we are. It just happened. I don't know how it all evolved. We just woke up one day and here we was. One thing led to another and to another and to another, and then just here we are. Young folk, I hope you're listening to me. I hope y'all listening to me just a little. Oh, we're just going to cheat God a little bit. I know He wants me to do this. I know He wants me to read my Bible every day. I know He wants me to pray. I know He wants me to separate from these friends. I know He wants me to dress this way. I know He wants me to talk like this. I know He wants me to be more faithful to the house of God. But I've not been doing it. I'm doing just about everything He wants me to do. But there's a little bit I'm being lazy about. You see, here was a farm, and it's just a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands. But can I tell you what happened? It became unprofitable. Do you know there's Christians out there, instead of being a benefit for the cause of Christ, they hinder the cause of Christ. They're a hindrance. People look at them, you've all heard it. If that's what being a Christian is, I don't want no part of it. You ever heard that? I don't want to go down to that church, just a bunch of hypocrites. Sometimes that's a false accusation they make. Sometimes there's a reality to it. Are you a hypocrite? Are you a hypocrite? Are you a stumbling block? Do you stand in the way of sinners? This is serious business we're talking about. We're not playing. This is not some kind of play game or little something. When you have time, you're going to be holy and spiritual. When it's convenient not to be. Some God's people, and I'm going to quit preaching a minute and just say this. Some God's people fit in every crowd you put them in. You can put them in a worldly crowd, they fit. You can put them in a church crowd, they fit. You can put them at revival, they fit in. You can put them in the R-rated movie crowd and they fit in. They fit everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere you put them, they fit. There's something wrong somewhere, friend. Well, we see that the spiritual slothfulness not only brought deterioration, robbed them of spirituality, but it also robbed them of their ability to bring glory to God. They wasn't fruitful. They wasn't fruitful. Now, they wasn't barren. They were not barren. My. They had something growing on the farm, but it wasn't godly fruit. If I can say, if we're comparing this farm to a spiritual life or a spiritual church, it wasn't godly fruit. And let me just get off my outline a little bit. When you quit being fruitful, you'll replace that efforts to produce fruitfulness, you'll replace it with something else in your life. There's nobody just quits church and doesn't fill that void time slot with something else. Everybody that should be in the house of God today and is not, they're doing something with their time right now. And I'll promise you it's not reading their Bible or praying. I'm telling you right today. Oh, here's what I'm saying. When you start neglecting the things of God, you're going to let the weeds come in your life. They're going to start coming in. My, let me not get too far from what I want to say. This spiritual slothfulness will steal the believer's true joy. That vineyard, you know, you Bible students know this. Many times the Word of God, wine speaks of joy, and grapes are the fruit of the vine and used for wine. The vineyard's no good any longer. They've lost their joy. You know, the most miserable people in the world are believers who's not right with God. If you're not right with God today and you're truly saved, you're miserable. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, one, I've experienced it in my life. But number two, there's something on the inside of every believer that wants to please the Lord. There's something in there. You want to please Him. You want to do something for God. I mean, that's just in our character. When we're created unto good works. And when we get sideways with God, there's an unhappiness. There's a loss of joy. Just read Psalm 51 where David's repenting over his sins. Oh, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. That's what's wrong with a lot of God's people today. You've lost your joy because just a little sleep and a little slumber, just a little. That's all it is. My, no grapes from this vineyard. No fruit of the vine from this vineyard. No joy, no. Many times it speaks of joy and celebration. But no, it can't be from this farm. Why? Slothfulness. A little here and a little there. And then I want to say too, we see in this text that spiritual slothfulness weakens our identifying boundaries. There was a stone wall that was broken down. Now, you know what a wall speaks of, and I've read much. Some say they'd build little, on those hillsides, they'd build little irrigation deals, and that's what it's talking about. And some say it's fences, but it makes more sense to me to be a fence than it does anything. Here's what happened. At one time they had a fence, and when they planted the crops, you see, and they started coming up, they had this stone wall, and it kept the animals out, and it kept the farmer from suffering loss. Don't you see? It was a boundary of protection. But now, because of slumbering and sleeping, That boundary's tore down. I see it in Christians' lives all the time. It's still there. The king could see where it was. He could see evidence that the wall had been there, but it wasn't able to do. You see, that boundary had gotten weak. That boundary was not what it used to be. And there's a lot of God's people. At one time you had convictions. I mean, you believed some things was right and some things was wrong. You had some standards in your life. And you knew, you lived by those and you stood true to them. But a little sleep and a little slumber, spiritually speaking. And now, they're still there. They're still there, but they're weak. They're weak. And even if you could be fruitful, it's real easy for your adversaries to come in and destroy what God's trying to do in your life. Have you let the stone wall of protection down in your life? Just sleeping, just slumbering. Oh my, we could just talk about that for a long, long time. You know what else that stone wall told that farmer? Don't you go past this. That's not your property over there. You don't belong over there. Don't you go over there and start trying to conduct business. That's not for you. You know what it was? It set a limit on where he could go. Do you know there's some things Christians can't do if they're going to be right with God?
Amen.
You just can't do it. The world can do it. The worldly churches can do it. You can find a religion that'll okay it. But if you're going to line up with that book, there's things you can't do.
Yes.
My, there's some boundaries that book will put on you. Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Amen.
That's the Bible. I would never say that to you. If I were to say that, you would say, that's unreasonable. You're expecting too much out of me. But the Word of God, God Himself speaking to you, said, abstain. Not from all evil, but from all appearance of evil. Why? To protect you.
That's right. Amen.
Young folk, to protect you.
Amen.
That's right. Weakens our identified boundaries. Matt, that farmer went past that, his trespassing. He had no business past that wall. He didn't belong there. The wall wasn't gone, but it's well on its way. Well on its way. And that's the way it is with a lot of God's people today. You know why? Because they're spiritually lazy. Spiritually lazy. Just a little. Not enough for anybody to detect it. Not enough for anybody to pick up on it. But they're not doing what they know God wants them to be doing in their life. And the wall slowly getting torn down. And one day you'll be able to just cross over and come back and forth and won't mean anything to you if you're not careful. We see the wall was there for protection and for identification of boundaries. My, we could just go on this morning. The point I am trying to get across to you is not so much all these things I've been teaching about the lessons of this, but the fact that it was just a little here and a little there and a little there. And when the preacher preached on it, you said, that's ridiculous. I'm not doing anything wrong. Just a little. I mean, just insignificant amount. When the dust settled, it had some consequences to it. How about you? Where are you at this morning? This slothfulness. Can I tell you, this spiritual slothfulness jeopardized his family's future. How are they going to eat? He said, your poverty is going to come like a hobo, like a man that just travels around the land, like an armed man who's starving and trying to stay at robbing people to get food from them. It's going to cost you. How's he going to feed his children? I've tried to use the family to motivate God's people. It doesn't work. People don't care about their kids. They're going to do what they want. I shouldn't say that like that. That's a cold statement. They do care about their kids. They love their kids from a worldly perspective. That's the wrong way for me to bring out. And I understand that. And I know they do love them. But they don't love them rightly. I believe that might be the right way to say it. They don't love them rightly. I mean, they know what God wants out of their life. They know what God wants out of their children. And they know their children's going to need spiritual direction. You know what teenage years are like without God? My soul, can you... You'd have to stick your head in the sand not to know what 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids are in today without God. And then we try to give them appetites for the world. I just don't understand it. I don't understand. Why would you do it, Mom and Dad? Why? Why would you? Why would you let your spiritual life deteriorate knowing that your children's going to need your spirituality down the road? Well, it jeopardized his family's future. That's what it did. It revealed what he was. It revealed what he was. Well, what about it? You say, preacher, you're talking about it. Can we correct it? You know what Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 6. I'm going to flip over there, don't you? The spiritually slothful, do anything about their ways? I think the answer is yes, and because I think in Proverbs 6 and verse 6 it says, go to the ants, thy sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. In other words, you're not wise, sluggard, but look at the ant and be wise. She provides her meat in the summer, and you know the story. I'm not preaching on that. That tells me that the sluggard, spiritual sluggard, the spiritual slothful man can repent and change his way. That gives me hope. Here's what I've said, and I've been wrong. You can't help a lazy man because he won't help himself. You can help him feel repent and change his ways. Feel consider the ant, and he'll repent. Oh, I'm thankful there's hope for a spiritually lazy, a spiritually slothful. And my, when we're talking about this, we're not talking about somebody doing nothing. Just a little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands. Just a little here and a little there. Almost undetectable. But you can look. You can look at the works of his hands. The fruit of the works of his hands. And tell if he's been a worker or if he's been lazy. You can tell it. You can talk to, and I don't want to go there, but you can talk to Christians, preachers, and you can tell many times if they're a student of the Word or not. You can just tell it. You can talk to them a minute, and I talked to a preacher and been in the way a long time, and he didn't even know who Joab was. He did not know who Joab was. I didn't know what to say. I mean, I had high regard and esteem for him. Maybe he just had a brain freeze. I don't know. He did not know who Joab was. A preacher of the gospel. I think he just showed me he was slothful in the scriptures. Well, how do we correct the problem? Number one, you have to want to correct it. You have to know you have a problem and you have to want to correct it. Now here's the thing, I'm going to give an invitation in a little bit. And if somebody needed to come, here's what I think the devil will say to you. You go up there and everybody's going to think you're lazy. Fact of the matter, we've all been lazy. I know that. I'm preaching to everybody this morning. I know it. We can hide it. We can pretend. We can be whatever we want to be. But I'm telling you, we commit sins of omission in our life many times. Amen, preacher. You might not admit it. Your pride might not let you own up to it. But the fact of the matter is, we're all guilty. My, that's why we're in the shape we're in. Here he is. How do we correct it? We repent. What does repentance mean? It means you agree with God against yourself. That's one way. It means you take God's side. Here's where you're at. You're slothful. God said that's going to lead to personal poverty in your life. I'm speaking spiritually. That's going to lead to poverty in your life. But God is just a little. He said, a little sleep. God's just a little. I know I'm lazy, son, but it's just a little. I know I don't do what you want me to, but it's just a little bit. It's just part of the time. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Thy poverty cometh as a traveling man and an armed man. You have to want to do right. You have to want to be right. My, I could talk to you about the thorns and the nettles. You know nettles have little, they call them, as I was reading on the internet, they have little hairs. And as you handle that nettle, those hairs will come off and stick in your skin like a needle. That's what it said. I don't even know what a nettle is. That's about all I know about it. So they stick you, the thorns stick you. Do you know what's got to happen before this farm can ever be productive again? There's some things that has to go. And when it goes, it hurts. Whether it's the nettle with them little hairs that stick in your skin and sting you like a needle, or whether it's a thorn, it hurts. It hurts the flesh. Many of you all have things in your life. I would suspect we all do. I when I preach, I know many times I'm preaching to everybody in this house. I don't say it. There's nobody can come up to me and say 100% of the time I do what God tells me to do. I know better. I know better than you know better. You know that's so. But many times there's something on the inside that has to go, a thorn. Those thorns and nettles are going to have to be cleaned out of that farm before it could ever be fruitful again. That wall is going to have to be built back up. I could preach there a while too, and I'm through preaching to you. Here's what I want to ask you. It's painful. It's painful to repent and correct things. The work is, it's much harder to get back where you should be after you've let it deteriorate than it is to keep it right. We all know that. That's just that lesson's taught all through the Word of God. But here's what I'm saying. Have you just been a little negligent in the work of the Lord? You know you've not been what you ought to be. You know you've not been pleasing. God wants you to do this and you've not been doing it. You've excused it. Do you know the Bible says that a sluggard or a slothful man in his conceits is wiser than seven wise men. I mean, they have a reason. They're not going to work because there's a lion in the street. They're not going to work because it's cold outside. They have a reason for it. That's what I've noticed with all God's people that disobey God. They have a reason. Preacher, I can't do that because of this. Preacher, this is, hey, there's no reason for disobeying God. I mean, God says it and we have a responsibility to obey. Has God spoke to anybody this morning? I don't know. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. One of you come to the piano. Has God spoke to anybody? Is it just me? Has it just been me He's been talking to? I feel like such a sloth, such a sluggard. I've wasted so much time in my life. Now I'm down at the end of life. Oh, God help me. God help me to redeem the time. He spoke to me.